I'm Chelsea Bay.
And I'm Shay. Together, we are Fulfillment.
Fulfillment is a storytelling event featuring local community leaders and entrepreneurs who share their personal journey towards fulfillment through vocation that will challenge you to come alive.
The following stories are true, and no one's identity has been protected.
Here's Fulfillment Stories Podcast number 56. Elizabeth Landry grew up in northern Michigan. Surrounded by music, she has been writing and singing songs since she was a child. With sweet and smoky melodies, Elizabeth has an unmistakable folk flavor with a hint of old blues and country influence. Here's Elizabeth's story from the October 2018 event.
I was exposed to music and art at a very young age. My mother was a woman of many talents and made beautiful things with her hands. My father was a full-time musician in his younger years and played music every day in our home. My mother has said on more than one occasion that I was born singing, and that is just what I remember, always singing. I grew up with a very different family dynamic. I am the youngest of four half-sisters and two half-brothers. Both my parents had previous relationships with kids, and I'm the only child the two of them had together. My sisters and I share a father, and my brothers and I share a mother. I grew up living with my mother and my brother Morgan in Sheboygan, Michigan. My parents divorced when I was 7 years old, and childhood was not the easiest, although there was no lack of love in our home. My mother struggled from mental illness, as well as my brother Morgan, which made for a very unpredictable living environment. We always had a clean home, we were always fed good, healthy food, and we were more than loved. And even though my mother tried her best to hide her struggles, to me, it was very obvious. I struggled with my unpredictable living environment. I struggled with feeling like an outsider. At times, I would feel the ripple effects from how others would treat my mother and my brother, and the shame that came along with people looking at us like we were troubled. I wouldn't learn till later that we were just as troubled as the next person. And to tell you the truth, I find those that struggle with what I like to call superpowers to be the most intelligent and fascinating people in our world. With all of this on my shoulders, it was almost as if I was born with the instinct to create, to express my pain through art. I would take that pain to my beloved ballet classes, and I would leave all of it on the dance floor. I would take all of that pain and sit for hours in front of my stereo singing my heart out. And I can honestly say that ballet and music got me through all of those years. My father resided in Leelanau County, as well as my sisters, who lived with their mother in Leland. I would look forward to my time with them. We would sit up into the wee hours singing five-part harmony with my dad playing piano and my sister Sarah singing her original music. We were her backup singers. At age 11 years old, my sister Sarah, who's 10 years older, was in a band and picked up acoustic guitar writing her own songs. I'll never forget going to visit her in Grand Rapids, where she attended college, and hearing her songs for the first time. All of a sudden, something inside of me had awoke. Not only was I fascinated, but I wanted to do that. This is why I love to sing. That day, I wrote my first song. By ear, Sarah figured out the chords on guitar, and together we sang my song. I'd beg her to play it one more time, and I'd belt my very dramatic song over and over again. I was proud. It was without a doubt the most influential moment I remember as a child. That same year, my father took my four sisters and I to live in Ireland for the summer. I remember being so scared to be away from my mom for that long. It would be the first time away from home. It was by far one of the best things that has ever happened to me. We traveled from town to town, house to house, experiencing magic. My father brought his 8-track recorder all the way to Ireland. And at night, our living room would become a hodgepodge recording studio. One evening, we were having a nice dinner at an upscale restaurant. It was a fancy place, and we were all dressed up. In the corner, there was a classic piano player. My sister Sarah nudged my dad and said, "Let's take over," half joking, half serious. We kindly asked if we could play a song, and before you knew it, we were full-blown jamming with some of the locals and having a ball. A young man came up and asked if we wanted to be on the radio. We quickly replied yes and made a quick recording of Sarah's song, Angel, that played on the local radio show. I learned about my heritage, I sang my heart out, and I loved every moment of it. Even when my much older and more mature sisters got annoyed with my 11-year-old self. I continued to write songs and poetry into my teen years, and at 16, I received a guitar for Christmas from my mother. I could not wait to incorporate an instrument into my writing. That night, I sat in front of a chord chart, and I started writing songs. It felt very natural. My mother would beg me to sing in front of house guests and my friends, but I was so petrified to sing my songs in front of people, a fear that would travel with me, even to now. For the rest of high school, I played music every night in my bedroom, writing songs and developing my voice. At 19, I put college aside. I never felt a need or desire to attend college, and my parents didn't press me on it. I am grateful that they knew me well enough to know that if I forced it, I would have dropped out. I needed to travel, to discover, to be free. So I set out with two girlfriends on a month-long road trip across the country. We ended up in Ashland, Oregon, where we lived in a teepee doing work trade at a retreat center. I wrote a lot of songs during this time and occasionally would make extra cash as a street performer. Little by little, I was gaining more confidence to share my music with people. About 6 months after moving to Oregon, I became very homesick. So I packed up a backpack and grabbed my guitar and took a Greyhound bus by myself back to Michigan. It was an amazing way to see our country and its people. In my early 20s, I dabbled in performing at open mics and small functions, but I wouldn't make a full-time career in music until a little later. My early 20s was the most confusing time in my life. At the age of 22, I received a phone call from my mother that her breast cancer had come back. She fought it off quickly back when I was in second grade. It wasn't good. It was at stage 4, and it had spread to her lymph system and some of her bones. At 24, I discovered I was pregnant with my first child, who was unplanned and a complete surprise. Levi and I had only been together for 6 weeks when we found out. And at 25, I gave birth at home to an 8-pound baby girl, my Kira Sue. It was such a confusing time in my life. I was becoming a mother, yet I was losing my mother at the very same time. Pregnancy was a beautiful experience, yet it was so dark and heartbreaking at the same time. If that weren't enough to deal with, I was also in a very unhappy and toxic relationship with Kira's father. Something I hid from my mom because I did not want her stressing while she was so sick. I felt stuck. I felt unhappy. Even though we had our troubles, we were determined to make it work for our daughter. I married him a year after Kira was born, a decision I made slightly on the fact that I wanted my mother to be at my wedding, and we did not know how much time we had left. During this time, I didn't play much music, and I wasn't writing any songs. 2 years after my daughter was born, I would go down to Grand Rapids every other week to be with my mom and to help my stepfather. They decided to move there so that she could receive better care. Kira and my mom had a blast together, and I am so grateful for their time to bond. I have very fond memories of them playing in my mother's king-size bed, painting toenails, watching movies, and hearing stories. Kira loved her Grandma Sue. I was watching my mother slowly fade right before my eyes. It was always my mom and I against the world, and I was devastated to see her this way. We kept her comfortable, and we were happy she could be home on hospice. Every time I went to see her, I feared it would be the last time. Every phone call I received, I thought, this is it. One of my last visits, I remember thinking, something's different. She was getting particularly weak. Before I left that time, she put a super old recording of me in the CD player that I had done when I was 17. She loved that two-song recording, and I was shocked that she held on to it all these years. I cringed a little, but I listened with her. She took my hand, and she said, "You're a good mom. But I hope you do something with your music someday. It's so important. It's why you're here. Don't ever forget that." These words hit my heart heavy. I was sure on my drive back to TC that time that that was the last time. And a few days later, I received a phone call from my stepfather. "It was time," he said. I immediately jumped in the car and drove as fast as I could by myself to Grand Rapids. When I got there, she was still alive, but not lucid. For 3 days, I sat by her bedside along with family. On the third day, I could tell she was fighting it. We all at different times whispered to her that it was okay to go, but she was still fighting. I remembered her love for music, so I headed downstairs to grab a CD. While looking for the perfect album, I found my recording, the one she had held on to since I was 17. I grabbed it and I put it on for her. The two songs played on repeat for hours. I jokingly looked at my stepdad and I was like, "We can totally turn this off whenever you want." Right at that moment, she clenched both of our hands and she sat up for a split second. "I don't think she wants us to change it," he said. Just moments later, she took her last breath. It was both peaceful and devastating. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I feared for years that I wouldn't be there to hold her hand when she went. And I found some comfort that I was able to be there with her. After my mother's funeral, a fire lit inside of me. What was I waiting for? I only have this one life. What could I possibly be afraid of? Music is who I am. Although all the events had taken place, or through all the events that had taken place, I hadn't written a song in almost 3 years. After my mother's funeral, I wrote the song "Beautiful Dungeon" about the struggle I had had, the beauty and the tragedy of life. I started performing in a band with friends, and before I knew it, I was playing music 5 days a week. I quit my job, and I had no plans to stop. In 2013, I recorded my first written full-length album titled "Dust Out of Sand" under the moniker E Minor. You may be wondering why I went under E Minor. Well, my name's Elizabeth, and I was married, and my last name was Minor. So, E Minor. Slowly but surely, I started to remember who I was. I thought I went after my dream to heal from my mother's death, but I slowly discovered that I was playing music to remember myself and to love myself. Once again, music brought me back to clarity. I was unhappy in my marriage. I didn't want to face it, but I knew I needed to get out. Music helped me remember that I am strong. I can take this challenge just like I took all the other challenges in my life. And with all of the strength inside of me, I filed for divorce, and I began my life again. I found myself again. I found more confidence in myself than I have ever experienced. I believed in myself for the very first time in my life. I remember thinking, I'm actually doing it. I became very busy, very quickly gaining more momentum with each performance, and I surrounded myself with what I like to call my musical family. The family that helped me through the struggle of divorce. The family that showed up at my door with Christmas presents for my daughter when I couldn't pay my rent. They know who they are. and I know there's no way I could have done it without them. I think of my mom often, and I know she'd be proud. She too knew the struggle of divorce and being a single mom, and I persevered. In a cloud of madness, I found myself. And I found love again with one of the most gentle and kind people I've ever met. In June of 2016, my partner Brian and I welcomed our baby boy, Devlin Thomas. I am happy in my relationship. I am happy within myself. And I am doing what I love to do. I recently have released my second full-length album, The River, under my real name, Elizabeth Landry. Recorded with my full band and produced by Joe Wilson. It took me a long time to get here and a whole lot of ups and downs, and I have in no way made it to the top. But I will say that I felt in my bones that I needed to sing from the time I was a child. And maybe I even pushed it aside because of what society says about making art a career. But here I am. I sing. And sometimes I have to pick up extra work. And sometimes I feel like I'm running around in circles. But sometimes when I share my songs, people listen. And they feel something. And sometimes they tell me their story about what my song means to them. And to me, that's what it's all about. This world is full of so much doubt and stereotypes of what success means. To me, success means happiness. And happiness is fulfillment. Sounds simple, and well, it is just that. My challenge to you is to dig deep inside of yourself and find what lights your fire and to overcome the fears that keep you from reaching and living what makes you feel that fire.